Amen. Amen. So the last few weeks, we have been talking about impossible, about how God does impossible things through ordinary people. That is good news because there are ordinary people here today. No disrespect against any of us, but we are ordinary people that God chooses to use. And over this last few weeks, we've looked at David, we've looked at Esther, we've looked at Mephibosheth, we've looked at all these different characters, Moses, all these different characters from the Old Testament. And we said today what we're going to do is we're going to challenge ourselves to say, what are we going to do with all that God has been showing us? And then next week, we're going to look at the best person to look at, which is Jesus, on Resurrection Sunday, as Danielle said. And today is Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And last week, we talked about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. What did he rebuild the walls of? Jerusalem. And years later, Jesus is going to come into the same city. And so the Lord has a plan and a destiny, and he lines everything up to remind us that he's in the beginning, and he's in the end, and he's all the way through. And he's in our lives this morning, and he has good things in store for us. So we're talking about impossible. And the challenge is this: what are we going to do with all that God is speaking about? Whether you've been reading your Bible recently and you haven't been here, or you have been here and you know that God does great things through people who make huge mistakes. We've looked at Moses, made huge mistakes. We looked at David, killed another, and he liked this other woman. He kills the husband together. It's incredible mistakes, incredible frailties, incredible wrongdoings, and yet God was able to use them, and God was able to do things through him. And so what is God challenging us with this last few weeks? And maybe he's been talking to you, maybe he's been whispering to you, maybe he's been reminding you of a dream or a word that he spoke before, or maybe he's been revealing something that you don't quite want to believe because it's just too big, it's just too hard. That's a perfect God kind of whisper, because you can't do it without him. You need him to do it. And it's so big, we need God to help us. We have been praying for our building next door. We really felt God giving us clarity this last few weeks about Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls, and how it wasn't just about building walls. It wasn't an exercise in building a wall. It was about restoring a city, but particularly restoring the people of a city, because Jesus had to come there. And Jesus wants to come back to Armagh soon, because he's coming back for a beautiful bride. And maybe us rebuilding the next door and rebuilding the walls is about restoring a city and restoring people back to their, to not even former glory, but to the glory that God's got for them. Because God is coming back for a beautiful bride. And what are the things that God is challenging you with to help us to complete the mission, to help us to advance the kingdom? Here's what I have learned very quickly, is that your thoughts and your minds, the thoughts that you have and the stuff that your mind tells you is not always true. Unfortunately, everything that you think sometimes is not always true. You ever been in a situation where you're like, I was sure it was going to work out, and then the last moment it didn't happen. I was sure this thing was going to be like they said it was going to be, and it didn't happen. A great example of this is our weather men and women. They always tell us it's going to rain, but at the last moment, it can suddenly just, sunshine can come, or we can get snow, or we get all three on the one day within about 15 minutes. And we have learned we just got to roll with it. We just got to go with it. But you can be sure that something's going to happen, and then suddenly something just changes, and then suddenly it changes again, and then suddenly it changes again. And then you say to yourself, well, what am I believing? What am I seeing? What am I thinking? And today we're talking about doing impossible things. And over this last few weeks, we've been talking about impossible things. But naturally in our mind, I think it wants to get in the way and go, oh, that's good. That's okay for everybody else, but probably not you. You'll never be able to achieve that. You'll never be able to do that. And yet there's something so special about us when we put our mind to something, when we start to believe in a tiny bit. I mean, when we put that mustard seed faith into an impossible situation, it's incredible. God adds faith to it, and suddenly it rips the mountain apart. Suddenly something spectacular takes place. We bought a building at $175,000 last year. It started with one penny, then another one, thank goodness, Lord, $175,000 later, we got it. A miracle. I could not comprehend it. I could not get my head around it, but I knew this. God could do it if God said it. And God just says this morning, I want to do incredible things through you, but your thinking could get in the way, your thoughts could get in the way, and so I need to renew your mind. And so where I'd like to start with this morning was, I did a bit of research. Nikki's fed up with hearing some of these things today. But I decided to do some research on the facts of us as human beings. Things that cannot be disputed, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel. And so the point to do this exercise is that we're going to say to ourselves, okay, I didn't feel that good about this or that or that, but I know what science says. I know what God says. I know what he has made. I need to start thinking better. because my thinking is not good. My thoughts towards me are not what God thinks. Here's the first thing I want us to think about. Our nose. Anybody ever thought about their nose before? Maybe you think about your nose, you're like, I wish my nose was smaller, wish it was bigger. I don't know if anybody complains about wishing it was bigger, but maybe smaller, wish it was a different shape, I wish it didn't look like that, I wish I had less spots, I don't know, whatever the thing is. You can complain about your nose, it's like my stupid nose, I wish I had a better nose, this and that. Let me give you an incredible fact about your nose. Your nose, this is proven, I checked this over and over again to make sure I wasn't making it up. Your nose is capable of smelling over 1 trillion different smells. That's 1 with 12 zeros. If anybody has that in their bank account, come to me quickly. We're building a building next door. We need at least some of that money. 1 trillion. That is beyond belief. I tried to process some of these numbers. I tried to bring them into context. To bring 1 trillion down to anything that we can fathom is too hard. But here's my best try at it. I tried a few things. This is the best one I could comprehend or try to get my head around. If we turned that 1 trillion to miles, we could go to the moon and back 2 million times. We could go to the moon and back 2 million times. This is how powerful our noses are. Now, I don't know what you think about your nose, but the fact is, it is incredible. And if nothing else about you is good, your nose is absolutely incredible. We need to nose that. That's a bad joke, but we need to know that our nose is incredible. Okay, I'm going to move on because you're going to wet yourselves. But here we go. Our hands. I've got to tell you about our hands. Here is the crazy thing about our hands. Our hands are powerful. They're able to do great things. And yet sometimes we can think to ourselves, my hands are so clumsy. I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to do that. I wish they were this. I wish they were that. I don't know what you think about your hands. The science has proven. It has proven that if we remove even our tiny wee finger, Bethany's all into pinky promises right now. But if we take away our tiny finger, we can't do pinky promises. But here's what we lose. 50% of the strength in our hand goes just by losing our the smallest, most insignificant finger in our hand. Is God not amazing? He has us down to the finite detail. He has us right down to the smallest things to say, you are incredible. And so I read further on our hand. I got to our fingertips. You know what our fingertips are able to do? Feel things like you would not believe. The sensitivity in the end of our fingertips is absolutely incredible. I don't know if you've ever thought this before. You may feel that you're useless, but your fingertips are incredible. Let me tell you why. Your fingertips are able, I've got to read this because it's just mind-blowing, can feel a ridge as small as 13 nanometers in size. Again, if you can compute that, amazing. But to try to help you, it's 7,500 times smaller than the thickness of a human hair. So if you're able to pull a hair out and feel that, 7,500 times smaller, you're able to feel that as well. Our fingertips are incredible. I don't know how you're feeling about yourself this morning or what you've thought, but you are absolutely amazing. So it stands to sense that you can do impossible things with God because He's made you amazing. He has made you absolutely amazing. Final fun fact, and we could go on for days. Like he was saying, we should have done this, we should have done that. We could go on for days. Here's the final one, your brain. A lot of people in here think, I'm not that smart, not that quick, and other people think quicker than me. Here's what science has proven. I don't know how to prove this stuff, but let's believe it anyway. But hopefully God has inspired them. But this is what it said. Even your slowest thought, even the slowest information that flashes through your brain goes at least 240 miles an hour. That's lightning quick. I mean, my car doesn't go that fast. If yours does, let me come for a spin. I want to have a go in that car. 240 miles an hour is the speed at which the slowest thoughts that pass in our brain go. That's just lightning quick. And yet we can look in the mirror and we can be sitting here today and we can say, that's all good, but you don't know me. God does know you. He made you. He made you spectacularly. He made you amazingly because He knew that your mind sometimes was going to get messed up, so He put it all over you. So whenever you'd look at your fingertips, whenever you look at your hand, whenever you'd be thinking with your thinking, it would still be going a million miles an hour because God is incredible. The things that we can see, the things that we can feel. I mean, the human eye, I can't even go into that. It's just beyond belief what the human eye is in terms of the science and the detail. God is incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And I challenge you, if you're feeling insecure about yourself or bad about yourself, go and read some of these things. They are unbelievable. The human body is amazing. And we are more than a human body. We have a soul. We have a soul and we have a mind. And our soul and our mind needs to catch up. Our soul knows what is true, but our mind wants to get in the way. And what is your mind telling you that you can't do when God says there's nothing impossible to you if you will trust me? Come on, we're going to read some verses today and encourage your hearts. Here's some keys I've written down, three quick keys to challenge us in living in the impossible and going for the impossible. Number one thing, above everything else, if you're going to do anything of any significance supernaturally or do anything for the kingdom of God, it's very simple. You've got to do it with God. You've got to do it with God. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. What an incredible verse. Where does that come from? It comes when the angel comes to Mary and she says, he says, you're going to give birth without doing a business type of thing. You're going to be a virgin. You're going to be a virgin the whole way. And she's like, what? This is not possible. This is not possible. I need to have a husband. This can't happen. And the angel turns around and says, for nothing will be impossible with God. He's right there from the beginning. He's right there in birth. He's right there to the end. Nothing will be impossible if we're with God. And here's the challenge today as we get a tiny bit more serious. Are we with God? That's the only question that matters. Are we with God? Are we with God in our faith? If we're with God in our faith, then suddenly, pardon me, we go to heaven. We don't go to a lost eternity in hell. We go to forever in eternity with Jesus, an incredible place. If we're with God on earth, there are no limits to the things that God will do through us. No limits. He takes Mary, insignificant, no one knows about her, and she carries the Savior of the world. Incredible, because with God, nothing is impossible. What are the lies that we have been believing? What are the thoughts that we've had against ourselves that have stopped us believing what the things that God has called us to do? Are we with God? And I've written down just a few things to try and challenge us. Are we with God in our thinking? It's number one. Are we with God in our thinking? Because how a man thinks is how he goes. We just know this over and over again. The battle is in the mind. That's why God wants to renew our minds. Are we with God in our thinking? Or what kind of thoughts have we got about ourselves? And what kind of thoughts have we got about everybody else? And they start off as small thoughts, but before you know it, they start to dominate who we are. Where are our thoughts today? Are we with God in our thinking? Are we with God in our hearts? Where are our hearts? Because the Bible is so good on this one. It says, without God, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. With God, he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. It's incredible. The contrast of our hearts are a bit like our lives. We're either this way or we're that way. And God says this morning, are you with me in your heart? Are you with me in your heart? When you rise up in the mornings, when you go to bed at night, when you're going through the day, what is in your heart? Am I with you? Am I in your heart? Am I in your life? God says this morning, I will do extraordinary things through you when I'm in you and I'm with you in your heart. Am I with you? Is God with you in your actions? And this one's huge. Is he with you in your actions? In the things that you, in the places that you go, the decisions that you make, the things that you do, is he with you? Do we even pray to ask God in help? I love what we've been reading over this last few weeks. Nehemiah goes before the king. Before he goes before the king, he says he prays. Esther, before she goes before the king, she does 3 days of prayer and fasting. Moses, before he goes before Pharaoh, he has to pray. He's got to go, God, I won't go if you don't call me to go. It's like David, he had to know the king. He had to know Jesus. He had to know God to be all that he could be. And this morning, are we asking God for the words? Are we asking God for direction? Are we seeking and praying? Are we just kind of going, it just felt right. I just had a feeling about it. I mean, I love feelings, but feelings want to lie to me all of the time. I want to know God first and allow my feelings to line up with that. That is a good word. This morning, we need to know what God says, not even what my heart says or what I feel. I want to know what God says. How do our dreams match up? Are our dreams with God? Are our dreams taking us away from God? It's subtle. Our dreams can actually take us away from God. Know this. Don't allow anybody to tell you any different. You will fulfill all your dreams and more in God, with God. No shadow of a doubt. It's 100% guaranteed. You'll fulfill more of your dreams in God than anywhere else. What about in our career, in our workplace? Do we get to our workplace and we just say, I kind of have to have a low profile in work because I don't want people to think bad of me? No, don't allow anybody to tell you that. Go into your workplace and soar. Go into your workplace and be the same as you are this morning. Go into your workplace and be the same as you are in life group, because you can adapt and be different for people, but you got to be bold with your faith, because your faith will challenge and encourage some people. And you could find another Christian who just needs encouragement, or you could find somebody who just needs built up, and you could be the person that gives them what they need in terms of a word of faith or a word from God. And then finally, in relationships. Relationships are so important. The relationships that we have, the friendships that we have, the relationships we have, we need to be with God in our relationships. They have the power to derail everything about our lives. This is what a fun thing. I'll go back to a fun fact this morning. We shared it in Life Group this week. This is how crazy life can be. We sang it this morning, Amazing Grace. Number 2 song that's recorded and played forever. The number two song in chart history is Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, imagine that. Out of all the songs, Amazing Grace is still the second most played song ever in all of its forms, in all of its different variations, second most played song ever. Incredible, Amazing Grace. What is number one to prove the point? If anybody knows, you could quickly look up Guinness Book of World Records. What is it? Happy Birthday, no. I'm going to cheat. No, it's not. It is Frank Sinatra, My Way. Most recorded song ever on the charts. My Way. And I think to myself, incredible. You're either going to go your way and do it every way you want to go, or you're going to do it God's way through amazing, amazing grace. Is God with you or is he not? That's the difference. It comes down to that. Is God with us or is he not? Because we're either with God or we're doing it our own ways. And God says this morning, what direction are we going? What ways are we going? I've got to live truly with God to do impossible things. Second thing this morning is this. You are not limited. I felt the Holy Spirit on this. You are not limited in the impossible by the lack of money or the loss that comes in your life. It is amazing how money wants to dominate our lives. In the early part of the scripture, when Jesus starts to speak and the disciples start to write it down, it says you cannot love God and money. Because what happens is money wants to rise up and become a god. It wants to become a definition. It wants to become the be-all and end-all. Like, I was going to do this, but. I was going to go here, but. And you've got to use reason and you've got to use wisdom. But money wants to dominate us. It wants to control us. Money was only ever meant to be a tool. It was only ever meant to be a way to exchange. It was only ever meant to be a way to exchange value for one thing for another thing. It was never meant to be God. And yet in our lives, in our worlds, with all that we have, it's incredible how money wants to get in there and dominate our thinking, our actions, our worries, our concerns, our relationships. Do you know the reason why over 50% of people split up in their relationships is money. It's just incredible. It wants to dominate every fiber and every part of our lives because it wants to take control. And God says this morning, we have to put that down and say God first because he supplies all my needs. I mean, we can see it next door. We could never have achieved that. It would have put us off thinking about all that we had to do. And yet God said, just keep bringing it into the storehouse. Just keep submitting all that you've got. Just keep giving all that you have and I'll multiply it. I'll increase it. I'll make it bigger. I'll make it better. God wants to push it through. It's amazing when I think about this as a real life story. When guys come to mission trips, usually the number two concerns is this. I don't have enough money. I'm not sure if I'll get the time off. I'm not sure if the second one is that big of a deal, but it's maybe to cushion the blow of the first one. But we don't want to believe it's all about that. But it is. And yet here is the good news of all of that. We have never once, and I think we must have taken, if we added up, maybe 100, 150 people on different mission trips over this last 5 or 6 years, never once has anyone not been able to go because of money. God has always provided. He has always come through. He has always helped. He has always made the difference. God is in the impossible, but money wants to try to take that away from us. He wants to say, you can't do this, can't do that. Trust God. He is able to provide in incredible ways through your wisdom, through your expertise, through logic. He's incredible. He works through all of that. Second big thing is this. Loss loves to rule out our plans. It's incredible that we were going to go and do this thing and then something happened, something negative happened. I was definitely going to do this and then this took place. And it almost comes and it feels like, again, it has the power to rob me of my impossible, has the power to rob me. And yet when we look through the New Testament, when we look through the life of Jesus, he went through trial after trial after trial, but it did not stop him accomplishing what he needed to accomplish. Life of Joseph, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, but it would not stop him from accomplishing all that he needed to do. And God says this morning, you are made to do incredible, impossible things, but the losses of life want to steal from you. The losses of life want to debilitate you. Don't allow them. Don't allow that thinking to dominate your life. God is greater than all of those things. He's able to redeem. He's able to restore. He's able to use every single negative thing for our glory. Here's what 2 Corinthians 12:9 says. But he said to me, I think we got the verse. If not, I'll read it to you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Look at this. Paul says, therefore, I will boast about all the more about my weakness and be glad about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul got himself to a place where he was convinced that God was more powerful in him when he was weak. So that's good news, because whenever he went through the valleys and the trials, he actually was excited, because he said, God's going to do something even more. God's going to be able to work through me even more, because my ego is going to get out of the way. My thoughts are going to get out of the way. My barriers, my hopes and disappointments are all going to get out of the way, and it's going to be God's strength through me. Church, this morning, we got to look at this verse and say, God, help me to get this in my heart. My grace is sufficient for you. That's all that we need. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Are you feeling powerless today? That's good news. God's going to make his power complete in you. Are you feeling like not having all that you need? Good news. Don't dwell on that. Ask the Lord to come. Just more of his power, more of his grace, more of his wisdom. He is going to make you strong. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Listen to Paul. I'm just going to boast all the more. I'm a weak man. It's just that I'm just weak, but God is amazing. Look at the things he does through me. The enemy tries to defeat me. He tries to pull me down, but look what he has done through me so that Christ's power may rest on me. It's good news when we're weak. World says it's not, but it's good news for a Christian. It's good news for a believer this morning. If you're here today and you know the Lord, because his power is made perfect and it rests on you. In spite of what we go through, God is greater. I want to read Philippians 4:10. And at the end of it, we're going to read, I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ. Here's what Philippians 4:10 says. Again, I hope we got it. If we don't, I'm going to read it to you. I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. This is Paul speaking. People concerned about him, he said this, Hi, I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Verse 11, not that I was ever in need. Now, don't miss this. Paul has said, not that I was ever in need. He's not arrogant. He hasn't got a big head. He hasn't got a big ego. He just knows who he is in Christ. It's incredible. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I've learned, imagine if we learned that. Wow, it's game over. It is game over. I've learned to be content with whatever I have. You see, we associate contentment with the lack of impossible. We associate contentment with living a terrible life. You got to press through. You got to press through. No, Paul was an overcomer in all that he did, but he knew contentment. In other words, he knew the peace of God in his life. So whether he was in trouble or not, he knew God's peace. He was content. He was a content man in the presence of God. So don't miss this morning. For I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every single situation. Listen to this. Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That is amazing. That is amazing. Now, we've got to use that verse, and we've got to claim that verse in every season, not just on the good days. We've got to use that in the bad days. Not moan and grumble, but we've got to go through. See, God says, God said through Paul this morning, I have been in need, but I've never known need because I've always had a contentment in God. I have been in lack, but I've never known lack because God's always been enough for me. And God says this morning, here's the question to sink into our hearts. Is God enough for you? If you lose everything, if you never get anything more than what you have right now, is he enough for you? The chances are maybe not. But God wants to get to a place in your life where he is, and you believe that, and you know that, and you live on that. Because Paul had been to prison, he'd been beaten up, he'd been at the end of his life several times, but he came back. He says, I know what it is to have a full stomach or an empty one. It never causes me to question, is God for me or against me? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And church, this morning, these are verses that we know inside out, and yet we can find ourselves stuck in the middle of them, in the middle part of those verses, deleting out verse 13, and where do we get to? Is God with me? Where is God in this thing? Does God remember me? Is there even a God anymore? I mean, this is not fair. The things that I'm going through is not fair. It's not good. And in the end, we got to remember verse 13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you a funny one. You can have needs, and then you can have wants. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Last weekend, I had a big need, but really it was a big want. I really wanted to go to United Pursuit, which is a worship concert. And Nikki was like, no, you're not going. No, she wasn't. She wasn't well. The girls weren't well. Everybody's sick. I was like, this is typical. The world's against me. You know, nobody loves me. This is terrible. I'm like, I felt like, what do you call a guy? The guy from years ago, forget him. Harry Enfield and Chums. I felt like you guy, whoever the kid was, the teenager. I felt like him. It was like, this is Kevin, I felt like Kevin. It's like life is so unfair. It's like I needed to be at that worship night. I needed to be there. I needed this for God. I needed to be there. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I was mad for about an hour. I was like, ugh, I was just so cross. I had to go down. And then you know what I said? You know what? Stuff them. Stuff all out of them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put United Pursuit on YouTube and I'm going to have a better worship time at home. That's what I say I'm going to do. I didn't. It was terrible. It was terrible because my heart was bad. It was so bad. And in that, I thought I had this huge, big need that I needed to be there. And then I realized it was a really selfish want, a really selfish want. And yet, God was so gracious because what I was able to do then was end up spending this incredible time with God. He started talking to me all sorts of things, especially about Nehemiah, next door, all of those things. All of those things wouldn't have taken place if I hadn't got to a better place in my heart. And God says this morning, there are so many subtle things that want to come in and rob you of your destiny and rob you of the things that God wants to speak to you. And sometimes it can come in the form of needs when really they're just wants and desires that don't necessarily have to happen. We just really, really want them to happen. And we're going to get a bit sulky if they don't. And God says this morning, don't allow them to dominate your life. Don't be in self-pity mode. Don't be feeling sorry mode. Get over all of that and say, I am content with whatever I have, whether it be in fullness or in lack, a full stomach or an empty stomach, whether I have everything or not, I know what it is to be content. God is good this morning. So what are the things that are trying to rob you? What are the things? Paul had real facts in his life and real things going on. We said, mentioned a few already. He had been in prison, but God was still with me, Paul said, and I will still do impossible things. I have so many needs, but yet I have no needs because I'm in Christ. I have lack of possessions, but yet I'm still so content because I have everything in God. I have everything I need. And he would not, no matter what he went through, allow anything to stop him from the call of God on his life. And now we get to read the New Testament, which he was a part of most of, because he would not allow anything to stop him in his pursuit of living out all that God had called him to do. He lived the impossible. Final point this morning, and then we're nearly going to be done. I tried to really press in and ask God, what are the things that hold us back from living out the impossible? And the final one was, of course, fear. Fear. Fear that I'll not be enough. Fear that I'll fail. Fear that I've heard the wrong message. Fear that I'll make a mistake. Here's what it says right back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord. This is the healthiest fear that you can have. This is an essential fear. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. This morning, we have to fear the Lord with our whole heart. See, if you fear him, you fear nobody else because of the great things he's done for you. See, some of the biggest fears that we have is it's not going to work out, that I'm going to be in lack, that I'm going to be a failure, that I'm going to be rejected. Well, all of those things are nullified when we're in God because he addresses all of those fears. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll provide all that you need. I'll give you a hope in the future. I've got good plans for you, not bad plans. See, God addresses every single fear. When you go through times of grief and sorrow, I'm with you. When you go through the darkest valleys, I am with you. I am bringing you through. In fact, when I'm bringing you through, I'm refining you. And I'm making you even better in the process. Because our God is so good. Fear wants to rob us. Fear wants to take away from us. Every attack of fear is about disorientation. Wants to disorientate us. Wants us to take our focus off God. Wants us to take our focus off God as our source and maybe God will be our complaints. God, why am I going through this thing? Well, it's just to get disoriented as we go through a challenge or we go through a trial and go, this is not fair, this is not right. We lose our focus. We lose our source and we start to complain against our source. We start to forget that life is full of ups and downs and we go on anyway because God is with us. I looked up the 10 most common fears that people have. It's been proven over and over again in all sorts of surveys. People just keep saying the same kind of ones over and over again. I want to read them this morning and hopefully it's going to remind you that these are so silly in comparison to God. Fear God. He is the only one that we need to fear. No fear is going to hold us back. Here's number 10. I guess this one changes all the time, but the year that I looked up, this was number 10. People fear dogs. They fear dogs. Some people are just afraid of dogs. Number 9, loneliness. That is a real one. People are afraid of loneliness. It's why we make mistakes sometimes in our friendships and our relationships because we don't want to be alone. I just don't want to be alone. So we fear loneliness. Number 8, flying. A lot of people fear flying. You might be in here this morning, you fear flying. Number 7, this will blow your mind. Number 7 on the list, and it's been the same year after year after year, is death. I'd have thought that would have been higher, but number 7 is death. Which kind of just lets me know that a lot of people just don't comprehend death. Because if you did, it would be number one, unless you know Jesus. It's either number one or number 10, because it's not on the list because you know Jesus, or it's number one because you're like, I don't know Jesus and I don't know what to do. Death. Because whenever we die and we don't know Jesus, it's a lost eternity. But good news, if we do, it's eternity forever with Jesus in paradise. He has promised that for us. Number 7 is death. Number 6 is sickness. Number 5 is deep water. Number 4 is financial problems. Worrying about finances, wondering about that money thing. Is money my God? Is money controlling my life? Will I have enough? Will I run out? Number 3 is insects and bugs. Maybe that's why we like the, what do you call the program, the ITV one? Get me out of here, the jungle one. It's all about bugs and stuff. Number 2 is heights. Number 2, people are afraid of heights. Here's number 1. And initially it might shock you, but then we're going to delve into it to try to get underneath it. Number 1 fear that people have is this, speaking in front of a crowd. Number 1 fear. Number 1 fear that people have year after year, this gets number 1. No matter how many people they survey, no matter how many people they ask, number 1 fear, fear of people, fear of man. Is that not one of the biggest fears that we all have if we're being truly honest? A fear of man. We're worried, what does that person think about me? What is that person saying about me behind my back? Has that person got power over me by the things that they say? What are they thinking about me? What are they saying about me? Will they accept me? Will they reject me? Will they keep me out or will they bring me in? And it's amazing how people want to get in the way of your destiny. It's amazing how people want to get in the way. Jesus said, hey, I can do many miracles, but not in my hometown, not in my own land, because they just don't notice me in the right way. They just don't respect me. They have no faith in me. They don't believe in me. I got to get outside of my hometown, and then after that, I can do incredible things. Remember when Jesus was in the upper room, and they were looking to heal this young person, and they said, hey, you've got to leave the room, because if you don't have the faith, you're going to hold me back. Your fear is going to hold me back. The way you think about me is going to hold me back. You got to get out of the room. And there are times in our lives where we have to separate ourselves from people that are for us and people that are against us. But number one thing that we mentioned this morning was this: you got to be with God to do impossible. And then you got to make sure you're with the right people, because the wrong people want to take us away from what we're planning. The wrong people want to take away us from our dreams, because they either don't have faith in us or they're just producing fear. And that fear around us wants to disable us. And church, this morning, we've got to know that we have nothing to fear if we fear God. Because no matter who accepts us or no matter who rejects us, does not matter. He accepts me, warts and all. He accepts me, flaws and all. We sang it this morning. He loves me through and through. Imagine that. He loves you. He's seen everything about you. And the moments that are no good, the moments when you're saying this and you're thinking that, he sees it all, and yet he loves you. Number one fear that people have, speaking before people in a crowd: acceptance, rejection. Will people love me? What will they think about me? What will they say about me? What will they say afterwards? What did they say before? What do they believe about me? All of those things want to rob me of the impossible. And God says, no, it's time to expose it. It's time to face it. And it's time to bring it into perspective. Is anything bigger than our God? Absolutely nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, no matter what I don't have, I can do all things. Can we stand this morning? We're going to worship and pray. I'm going to pray this over our lives. I want to read one final verse just to encourage your hearts. This was Mark 10:27. We've got to get the word of God in our lives. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. We're back to with God. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, let's pray together. Lord, I pray this morning that we would know that we need to be with God. And if we're with you, then we're with you wholeheartedly. Lord, when loss comes and the lack comes, it makes no difference. It just causes me to press in more, because in my weakness, he proves himself all the more. Lord, when all of that stuff comes and then I get to a place of, oh, is it really you, God? And I start to fear man and I start to fear those around me. I just say, no, because I fear God. And if I fear him, he blesses me, because he's greater than all things. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, what are the impossible things? What are the deepest desires? What are the things that we have dared to believe because we're worried it wouldn't work out? What are the things that God has been stirring in my heart? Or maybe I don't know yet, and God said, come and spend some time with me and let me reveal the things of my heart with you. Come and spend some time with me and let me shape you and let me mold you. Come and spend some time with me and let me encourage you and let me build you up. I've got to knock off all that negative thinking. I've got to knock off all that stinking thinking. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, as we would go forward, and maybe we look in the silly mirror and we get discouraged sometimes, that we'd look at our nose, whether we like it or not, and we would say, my nose is amazing. I am amazing because God has made me. Lord, I pray that we would get to a place where we would laugh at the enemy and laugh at his lies and laugh at the negative thoughts that we have because the joy of the Lord is our strength. This morning, Lord, I pray that we are getting serious with what God is calling us to do, because He is a good God. Love you, Jesus.